Good morning.
Welcome. Love to hear that energy in the church this morning. Thank you for worshiping with us. I'm the Reverend Rachel Campbell, and I'm the minister here at Trinity in Summerside. So thank you so much for being here. If you have been away and now is just starting to come back, welcome. If you're here every Sunday, welcome. If you're brand new, have never even been here before, welcome to service today, be it in person or on live stream, sermon by phone, or podcast. Today, I know we have a birthday girl in our congregation, and Kathleen Griffin. Kay, right there. Your birthday is tomorrow, and I hear she's trying to hide behind Wanda, but she's not doing a very good job of it, because I can still see around her. There she is. 92 tomorrow. 92. Wave your hand up. Wow. Kay is always smiling. She's always such got a friendly story, a cheerful story, and it's just wonderful to be able to celebrate 92 years with her. That is awesome. Are there any other birthdays? Any other birthdays? Are we sure? Because the minister usually gets an email or a text or a phone call sometime through the week. I know we have some more birthdays coming up next week, but let us sing then, Happy Birthday, Dear Friends.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friends. Happy birthday to you.
As a Christian family, we are to journey with one another in joys and in struggles, in times where we want to celebrate, and in times where we just need someone to be with us in whatever is happening in our lives. And that is what a church community is supposed to do. A faith community is supposed to journey with one another. And today, it's with deepest gratitude and respect that Trinity United Church Summerside gathers and worships on unceded Mi'kmaq territory. Ebiguet, Prince Edward Island, is covered by historic treaties of peace and friendship. Let us prepare ourselves for worship. Thank you, Bell Choir. Each week, we light the Christ candle as a sign and symbol of Christ's presence with us, and I invite Wynn to come up with me and help me light the Christ candle today. It reminds us to take the hope, peace, joy, and love of Jesus Christ out into the world so that we can be kind to one another. So thank you, Wynn. I'm going to hold this down, make it a little easier. Wonderful. You hold it right there. Well done. You can blow that out just like a birthday candle. Big breath. Good job. Thank you so much. Let's give her a round of applause. She did really good. Rejoice and be glad. Let us join our voices together in the call to worship. As one season prepares to leave, we prepare ourselves for the new. As one season prepares to leave, we prepare ourselves for the gifts of God.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And let us join together in the gathering prayer. O God, source of our life and our strength, show us your light in ourselves and each other. As the Christ candle flickers for the last time this Pentecost season, remind us of the peace, joy, hope, and love that is to come. Little lights to remind us to stay on the path and follow your way. Forgive us when we turn from the path, and thank you for seeking us out to bring us home. Remind us as we journey with one another as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we have a covenanting reminder as we look towards another year of Christian education. I want to welcome up all those who are visiting with us or just starting junior church or have been here to come forward to find a place on the steps. I also want to invite the leaders, the helpers, the superintendent, the participants, the Christian Life and Growth team. I want you to pack this area with people. As many people to come forward, please. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You can sit on the steps. All right, welcome. Come on up. If you're visiting with us, you're welcome to this too. Everyone, this is great. Come forward, please. Thank you. So today we are recognizing the amazing work of our junior church leaders, our helpers, our superintendent, the participants, the Christian Life and Growth team that make all of this happen. The work that you all do is important to this church, and today we celebrate you. Everybody cheer. Yay! We celebrate you. I celebrate you every day, just by the way. We also have some promises that we will share with one another, a reminder of our covenant together. Now, we talked about the word covenant last year a little bit. It's a word that means relationship. It's a promise. It's a grace. It's a blessing. It's learning. It is love. I am in covenant, for example. I am your minister here at Trinity. That means I can't be ministers for everybody else. I am your minister because I am in covenant with you. And even when you lend me out, it's because you have said, yes, we will lend you out because I'm in covenant with you. Leaders and helpers, superintendents, everybody who's here, kids, I want you to all stand up. Everybody stand up together. Stand up if you're able. If you are able, stand up. So, leaders, helpers, superintendents, and members of the Christian Life and Growth team that are here, you have heard God's call. Will you see and develop your gifts of teaching and sharing for the Christian faith? Will you love and care for all these participants, all these students in your groups? Will you honor your commitment of time and talent? And will you also take seriously your role as a learner, studying the scriptures, and teaching of the Christian faith? If so, answer all the participants, the leaders, the helpers, the superintendents, the members of the Christian Life and Growth, please answer, we will, God being our helper. Oh, you can do better than that. We will, God being our helper. Awesome. Participants of all ages, as disciples of Jesus, you are disciples of Jesus. Will you do your best to learn together? Will you respect and help those who teach you? Will you do your part to help make this church and this place where we can learn a safe place where we can grow? If so, answer, we will. See? See? We will. That is wonderful. Okay, congregation, I'm going to ask Stephen to put this promise up on the screen that we're going to say together. Everybody in the congregation, let us share in this promise. We remember the promise we make at baptism to provide Christian nurture and example for all. We celebrate the response of these teachers to God's call. We will be partners with them in the ministry of Jesus Christ. We will pray for them and for the education ministry of our congregation. We pledge to the learners with them, studying the scriptures and the faith of our church. United in the Spirit, we are the body of Christ. Please join, everyone have a seat, and please join me in prayer, and let us pray. Loving God, we celebrate the continuing growth of your church. We are thankful for mentors, learners, and those who walk the walk and talk the talk. Give us the wisdom and strength to be Christian in this world. Give us the grace to respond with love in this world. And give us the light of hope as we journey in this world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Rejoice, Trinity United Church, for the light of Christ is alive and well. Rejoice, Trinity United Church, for the gifts of your people are lifted up today. Rejoice, Trinity United Church, rejoice, all men, and hallelujah. Today, I want to welcome Emma, who's going to share with us the reading about Elijah and the widow, where Elijah had a trust in the response and respond to God, had a trust in God and respond to God. So, Emma, please share with us that story today.
Elijah was a prophet. God helped him show and tell others about God. One day, God said, "Pack your things, Elijah. It's time to move to a new town. I have told a widow there to feed you. I will make a miracle." It was not a good time to move. Rain had not fallen for many days. The sun was hot and the earth was dry. Elijah didn't have any friends in the new town, but he listened to God and went to the new town. When Elijah finally got to the new town, he was thirsty. Just then, he spotted a woman. Could this be the widow God told him about? "Excuse me, ma'am. Could you please bring me a drink of water?" The kind woman hurried to get the water. "Grr," Elijah's tummy growled. He remembered that God said the widow would feed him. He called after her. "Excuse me, ma'am. Could you please bring me a nibble of bread to eat?" The woman stopped in her tracks. She turned to face Elijah. The widow had sad eyes. "I'm sorry, sir. I don't have any bread," she sighed. "The last of my oil and flour will only make a biscuit. My son and I are going to split it as our last meal. We have no other food." She started to cry. "Dry your tears," Elijah said. "God will make a miracle for you. Bake the bread and share it with me. God promises that your flour and oil will not run out." The widow mixed, kneaded, and baked loaf after loaf of bread. Her jar and flour and jug of oil made plenty of food for Elijah, herself, and her son. God's promise was kept. It was a miracle.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you. thank you, Emma, for sharing with us a very important story about trust and faith in God and doing it in such a great way. Thank you so much for that. Today, let us sing together before you head out to Junior Church, and for your activities together, let us sing together, There's Enough for All.
Second reading this morning is taken from Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 to 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross.
Christ has no body, now I yours.
Please join me in prayer, and let us pray. Loving God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, dear God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Many mornings my husband will make me tea. He is thoughtful and he is kind. I can have the tea in silence as I get ready to people for the day. As an introvert, tested twice, I like my alone time, my quiet time, especially first thing in the morning so that I can extrovert with all you lovely people for the rest of the day, so that I can minister, so that I can function in this world. Beyond being thoughtful and kind, my husband is also very much a detailed person. He is phenomenal at math and pretty much can eye up anything and know exactly how it's built. Creative to the core. I have faith in him and I feel I know him well. However, he does do some things that crack both of us up. For one, as you can see from this picture, he cannot identify a coaster. Now, I'm not being picky. He and I, have discovered that this is a real thing for him. We have tested this theory on multiple occasions, and each time, under each situation, the coaster that is obviously there is unseen by him. And if he has a cup, a glass, a bottle, it will never be set on the coaster, but instead it will be set very close to the coaster each time. This has now become something that I know will happen. I have trust and faith that without fail, the functionality of the coaster will never reach its full potential with my husband. Within his faithful response, I have deeper understanding of who he is in relation to the coaster. This is a small but fun example of how we can relate to each other and how we can get to a faithful knowing and understanding when it comes to relationships with one another. We not only do this with the people in our lives, the closest people in our lives, but we do this in relationship with our faith and with God. To highlight, as we build our understanding and knowing of God, then we build our relationship with God. God understands that we just quite haven't gotten the cup on the coaster, but we're getting close. On this Reign of Christ Sunday, we have two scriptures that emphasize faithful responses and the building of relationship with God. Within any response that relies on one's faith, our deeper understanding of God is engaged. God is very much present, and as such, our response is reflective of our own personal relationship with the divine, however that is defined in that very moment, and how that understanding is always evolving and transforming, even when things seem the most impossible. A possibility is revealed with and through relationship with God, with and through our understanding of our faith. In the first scripture reading offered by Emma, we have the prophet Elijah faithfully listening and responding to God, even when God makes a request for Elijah to pack up everything and move to a new place. Eyebrows up. God tells Elijah not to worry because upon arrival, a widow would be key in helping him, and in turn, God would help all of them. God would provide. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Elijah, I would need to have a deep faith and a deep relationship with God so that I could faithfully respond to all of this, to this request, so I could feel that I was in the know, to trust that upon arrival at this new place, provisions would be made, especially if the person that would provide such provisions was a widow,
A widow would have limited means, right? How could a widow provide? I would need to have faith and trust to move on this request, to respond to God if I was Elijah. Now let's look at the widow for a moment. We have her not only listening to God, but again faithfully responding. She then connects all of this to Elijah. When Elijah makes that request, light bulb moment. She connects that relationship right there with Elijah to her relationship with God. Another great example of trust and faith. Both Elijah and the widow respond in such a trusting and faithful way. We witness the miracle of abundance in a place that seemed very limited. The impossible becomes possible. God provides. God's promise of provision is kept through the faithful responses of both Elijah and this widow. With great trust comes great blessing. In the second reading that Carolyn shared with us, we again hear words of faith, promise, and the seemingly impossible becoming possible with God through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is reminding the readers of this text that through Jesus, we are set free. We are released from all those things that block us from a faithful relationship with the divine, with God, our Creator. That with and in Christ, we can experience real change, new birth, and the opportunity as a member of our lectionary study group said on Friday, this is an opportunity for a reset in our lives. What a fantastic way to look at this scripture on the Reign of Christ Sunday. A reset is initiated on this last Sunday in Pentecost to make ready for the season of Advent. A moment, like a from this day on moment. We are reminded that God is the beginning of all, and all things come into being through God. Every bit of this understanding of our faith is reconciled through the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. God's own selfless sacrifice of God's self, the Word made flesh. So we are victorious over the grave, over death, so that we can receive the promise of a new heaven and a new earth, all things made new, when we pass from this world to the next. To break through. And within this text, we witness a Christ that reconciles the world to himself, making it possible for people to be set free from sin and witness the realities of God's kingdom. How amazing is that? This is what Jesus promised on the cross when he said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus offers a promise of salvation, a promise of forgiveness, a demonstration of faith, an example of grace, all leading to paradise. This is very much an Elijah trusting God moment. This is very much the widow trusting God moment. And it is a Paul trusting in God moment. In this epistle reading, the Apostle Paul offers us the why we must trust in God, why we must be faithful to God, why we must build our relationship with God, a God who so loved the world, why we must show up. God has shown us time and time again who God is, a God who shows up, a relational God, a God who provides, a God of love. When we gather in worship, when we dive into these scriptures, we are Christ's body in the world. We all have our strengths, and we all have our own gifts. Some of us see coasters and use them. Some of us make and bring tea. Some of us are creative and kind. Some of us can trust and respond faithfully. Some of you are amazing. It's just the idea goes and you go with it. It's awesome. You just trust faithfully. Some of us show up in faith and offer a response. Today, as we prepare to leave the Pentecost season behind, We claim time to reflect on everything that has brought us to this moment. That's why this service is so important, just before we dive into Advent. We do this so that we can appreciate the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love in this time, in the time that is to come, known as Advent. The pillars of our faith, all the seasons of our Christian church steep within us so that we can respond faithfully. Another member of our lectionary study group said on Friday, "We truly need Easter, Reverend Rachel, to appreciate Christmas." Gordon B. Hinckley, religious leader and author, agreed with this idea from our lectionary study group when he said, "There would be no Christmas if there was no Easter." The birth of Jesus needs the message of Easter: victory over death, hope of new life. Each season has a purpose that transforms us as we move through them. Don't miss the seasons of your faith, the seasons of your church. Each season has a purpose that transforms us and moves us through them. Today we pause in this last Sunday in Pentecost and recognize all of that so that we can find the meaning for the Advent and Christmas season. May it be so. All glorious God's. Amen.
This morning, you're going to be part of our ministry for music. We're singing from the new music resource, Then Let Us Sing. It's called We Gather as Christ's Body. Your job is to help us with verse 2 and 3 after you've heard verse 1. The tune is a very familiar one, and that won't be a problem for you to sing along, but I really want to highlight some of the words, for they hopefully will resonate with what Reverend Rachel has just said. In the last verse, God's presence is at hand when loneliness is crushing, when we don't understand. Our trust makes ways of knowing. In weakness, we are strong. Our faith becomes our courage. God's love becomes our song. So please listen. You can remain seated and join us on verses 2 and 3.
Thank you. morning, everybody. She didn't introduce me. I'm Heather, and I'm talking to you today about the Feed My Sheep program. Now, you've more likely all heard about it, but I want to talk to you about how it has affected me and the community. About 10 years ago, the Anglican Church, St. Mary's, decided that since the Salvation Army only fed people on the weekdays, that maybe on the weekends they should find something. So they asked the Council of Churches to make, some of the churches would take over a Saturday. And so we did, and then we got along so well and had so many volunteers and so much support, we decided to add another Saturday, and then the Anglicans added another Saturday, and then the Catholic Church has now added the fifth. So we have about 40 people come on a Saturday. Now, to me, it is just life-changing. I just love it. You don't know what goes on out there. You have no idea, but it's fun. It's homey. We decorate the tables so they feel like they're not in, you know, a soup kitchen. They're in a restaurant. And I was talking, there's a group of ladies come, and they always say, it's our way to get out and be with each other once a week. Or once they go to all the different breakfasts. And there's just such joy in their faces. Now, they're not homeless, but they're lonely and, you know, trying to get together. And we laugh. I get hugs. And the kindness that's been shown to me by these guests to our church is amazing. And they are just like us, only they've had some hard circumstances. And people say, well, they make bad, choices. Well, don't we all at times? You know, we can't judge people. It's hard out there, and it's hard for more people than we understand. So I just want you to know that if you really want to have an uplifting morning, come out to the breakfast program and see us, and it's fun. And, I do get in trouble out there sometimes, but that's beside the point. And it's really neat. And, of course, we're having our Christmas breakfast soon, and we are asking you for donations. And if anybody does any home cooking for Christmas, because how many people do have homemade cookies? We can drop them off. We're doing the party is on the 13th, the breakfast, on the Thursday or Friday before that. So thank you. Rachel said she was going to come down and take the mic, so I better end. Thank you very much.
I'm Vanna today.
Thank you, Vanna. Good morning. A reminder that this Sunday and next Sunday, following in-person worship, you're invited to remain after service to assist with the decorating for Advent and Christmas. We thank Elaine Burroughs for her leadership with transforming the church from Pentecost to Advent season. Let us come next Sunday with excitement and anticipation as we begin our Advent journey to Christmas, starting with the hanging of the greens, where we learn the significance of the symbols we associate with Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany. For additional information on these items and more on the life and work of Trinity Summerside and its work in the community, the bulletin or Advent newsletter are available at the entrances and on the website. We're still advocating for the Gremlins to move on from our website, but I was sitting here thinking maybe in true United Church tradition we should offer to share food, maybe cookies? Trinity is truly blessed by the people in this community of faith. We thank you for being willing to share your time, talent, and treasure.
Just don't feed them after midnight and do not put them in water. Those who know will know. Okay. Brett's like, I know, I understand. Gremlins, hopefully they'll find another, just stop, that would be lovely. Thank you, Heather, and thank you, Nancy, for reminding us how we can get involved. And not only does it we give, but we receive. so much from that. So thank you both of you for lifting up that and sharing your story. As we have this time within our service, we pause to recognize the gifts of time, talent, and treasure, that when we are giving, we also are receiving. And as Gary brings forward a symbol of that offering, the offering plate, let us stand, those who are able, and let us offer a time of blessing over the offering today. Please join me in prayer, and let us pray. Gracious God, we bring our gifts, bless them and us. We pray that the gifts received here today aid in the betterment of this world, that love is revealed, nourishment offered, and healing initiated. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. At the doorway that leads into a new way of being church. At this doorway, we are not alone. God has invited us to gather courage from the great cloud of witnesses before us as we remember what was. Friends, let us pray. We pray for our past as a community with the wider church. We take this moment of silence to reflect on that past. Who have we been? What are our key moments in history? Who have we been in faith with, and how have we shown that faith out into the world? Christ has challenged us to accept his radical call to discipleship. As we acknowledge what is, today we also take a moment to reflect on our current relationships. In this moment of silence, as we reflect on our relationships today, how do we live out into the calling of Jesus Christ? Do we move in faith? Do we have trust? The Spirit has led us to be Christ's church. As we imagine what it will be, what is our hope for the future? As a church, what will be our future relationships with one another, with the wider church, with our communities. As we claim this time of silent prayer, what is our hope for our church? At this doorway, moving from Pentecost to Advent, we take courage in the assurance that God is with us. We affirm our call to go where Christ leads us. We trust the Spirit to guide us through the challenging space between what was, what is, and what will be. We are not alone. God is with us as we draw the circle wider and wider. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. This place today, I commission you all to be alert, to stand firm in the faith, to be valiant and strong, but let all that you do be done out of love. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Amen and hallelujah.